Welcome back to the Supercoach Champions podcast. This is episode 112. You're here with Catfish as always. And gosh, we have had plenty of fun tracking all the Origin ins and outs, haven't we? It's been an eventful 24 to 36 hours, but you know, this is roughly midday or thereabouts on Friday, the 11th of June, kickoff for tonight, a couple of games. And yeah, obviously we're going to do our best here. So as promised, I did have a chat to NRL Physio. So this chat was recorded on Thursday around lunchtime. And so some of the information probably is not entirely up to date. Obviously, we've now gotten the confirmation that Turbo's out and a couple of other things like that. So I've still left a lot of that information in there. I've cut some stuff that's definitely not relevant anymore, but I still think the insight he provided, the reasoning why he's being rested, like Turbo, obviously, and things like that, I think it's still really important for us to know and consider as part of our decision-making for Supercoach. But yeah, so I'll play that through. Then we'll jump straight into the Wackers Whispers. And as always, we'll finish up tackling your Twitter questions for this week. So without further ado, here's my chat with NRL Physio from yesterday.
What's the matter? Haven't you ever seen a football injury before, you wimps? Let's go.
Welcome back to the podcast. We've got the NRL physio himself, Brian Sini. Brian, you and I are shattered, obviously, as proud Queenslanders, but I appreciate you jumping on. Look, let's just wrap up, obviously, from injury perspective. Aside from bruised egos and you know, damaged psyches, what else is the injury wash-up from last night?
Yeah, look, actually, it's funny, like I said last night, like you don't tend to see too many injuries come out of Origin terms of like in-game. I think it's mostly because guys tend to push through the pain barrier a little bit, like, you know, issues that they might go off with week to week in the NRL, they push through. And so you very rarely sort of see too many, yeah, in-game injuries in the Origin games. But it's more sort of post-game in the next few days, like today and tomorrow. So we're recording this sort of lunchtime Thursday, where you start to find out a few little niggles and different things pop up because guys have sort of cooled down and the adrenaline wears off. But so far, it seems pretty good. I think the reports from there has been sort of reports through from the Queensland camp that the only real concern there is Christian Welsh. There's a few, you know, battered and bruised bodies and a few guys who took knocks, but nothing too long term. And then I think from New South Wales so far, I mean, the only obvious one was Nathan Cleary with his cheek. But apart from that, they looked pretty good too. So I think it'll more just be the implications of a lot of them backing up and what that looks like for both performance and for injury risk.
So just to confirm with obviously Cleary, there was concern he may have fractured his cheekbone on top of a deep laceration. But it seems like, I think I saw the latest tweet that you dropped last night, was that out of the Blues camp they thought no fracture and just deep cut, but probably doesn't play this week, but should otherwise just be, it's a matter of just, you know, healing up that cut, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, like, obviously with the Panthers not naming him for this week, like, obviously team lists are an absolute cluster this weekend, you know, with some teams naming him, other teams not. But I guess Penrith are already leaning towards resting him by not naming him potentially. But this pretty much confirms it. Like, I don't see why you'd run him out again with that this weekend, with all the bruising and stuff like that that's associated with it. So, yeah, no fracture, thankfully, which is good, because that would have cost him, you know, 2 to 3 weeks. But, yeah, so, like, I doubt you'd see him this weekend. I'd be very surprised.
Yeah, and even Tyrone May in the seven probably isn't enough to run Nathan Cleary out there.
Yeah, I wonder whether they just put Burton at seven and Luai at six. Like, I know Luai, you know, had a big game, but I certainly didn't see him look as bad as Cleary did.
Yeah, I think Brian Tortle was, I think, there's some vision of him hobbling around, basically with calf tightness. So I'd say that's probably a big sign that he's likely to not back up. But otherwise, yeah. I mean, aside from Isaiah Yeo, played 80 minutes, but Capewell, technically 80 minutes in the centres, but you'd think he'd probably want to run out there and get that shocker of a game out of his mind.
Yeah.
Liam Martin didn't play many minutes there, so I'd assume those guys might be more likely to back up than any of the other Panthers players.
Yeah.
Jumping back to the Storm, I guess, you know, the likes of Harry Grant with the hamstring, Cam Munster with obviously his foot injury, that I think both clearly looked underdone, you know, throughout the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I said on Patreon a couple of weeks ago, like, I think when sort of Grant's, like, it sort of was becoming clearer that Grant was firming to play, my first impression was, right, they either were going to or should use him as a bit of an impact player off the bench, not only for, like, injury risk, but for performance implications as well. Like, you know, with the coming off the hamstring and stuff like that, not being able to do, like, I talk about it all the time, the return to play versus return to performance. Like, you know, he might have been fit to return to play last week, but he hadn't played in 5 weeks coming off a hamstring where you're very limited in what you can do in rehab. So the fact that he was rolled out in a, you know, what ended up being a 70-minute, you know, roll off, it, like, in the middle of the field is, yeah, I don't know what they were kind of thinking with that, to be honest. So it not only, like, obviously we saw with performance-wise, that was, you know, a concern last night. But I think moving forward, like, even this weekend, like hopefully Melbourne sort of approach it with a little bit more, I guess, hesitancy and don't try and roll him out with those big minutes, because it's that, and we'll talk about it with Trbojevic in a second, but it's just that concern with the sudden increase in load, what implications that has for re-injury risk as well. If I was a Harry Grant owner or a prospective Harry Grant buyer, I'd almost want him to sit out this weekend just to sort of, give himself a bit of a breather and decrease that re-injury risk. And then, yeah, with Munster, look, at like less of a re-injury risk, not much. Like with those Liz Frank injuries, he almost has to, you know, it's a traumatic injury, so he'd have to sort of be put in a similar position to traumatically injure it again. But it's more like, and we've spoken about on this podcast too, that those Liz Frank injuries, they just tend to linger around. Like those symptoms can kind of be there. You can have a bit of soreness through the foot, not as much power pushing through the foot. So it's not a surprise, once again, that he probably wasn't at 100% either, just because those Liz Frank injuries, they tend to be so, I guess, limiting to players sort of even on return.
Yeah, and you'd spoken in the past about, honestly, with this injury for Munster, you had serious concerns for his return to performance as opposed to his return to play. So fingers crossed he continues to get better for not just the Storm's sake, but also for Queensland in game two.
Yeah, definitely.
You touched on Tommy Topo, obviously everyone wants to know, but I think you've spoken in the past. It's just the amount of running and amount of play that he would have to do in really literally the space of 48 hours. It just seems so unwise for him to run out again, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'll preface this by saying that, look, like I've got Tommy Turbo everywhere. Like I'm holding on to him in Classic. I've got him in 2 out of 3 in my draft leagues. I'm over saturated with Trbojevic ownership, but like, being an owner, I would much rather him sit out this weekend than play. Like, and it's not because I don't think he can go out and tear up, you know, I think they're playing the Knights and stuff like that. But can he or should he? You know, like, he can do it. He absolutely could go out this weekend. Like, there's no doubting that, but the question is, should he be doing that? And I think, like, surprisingly so far, all the reports are that he's going to try and play, because I know that it's for Bob Fulton the game tomorrow night and stuff like that. But yeah, like to a point where I think there was a newspaper article this morning that they flew, you know, New South Wales flew up the strength and conditioning guy from Manly on match eve to sort of run Turbo through his warm up and stuff, you know, with his hamstrings. Like that shows you that it's still an ongoing thing that he's having to work on, right? Like he's not just back in with everybody else doing, you know, a normal sort of preparation and stuff like that. He's having to put in extras to sort of keep those hamstrings under control, which is fantastic, right? Like as I've said previously, like that's what you want to see from players who suffer, you know, chronic hamstring issues. You want to see them going above and beyond to make sure that the risk of re-injury is as low as possible. What wouldn't be going above and beyond would be playing 2 games within 48 hours. If he had, you know, a real quiet game in Origin where his running load hadn't been too big or anything like that, you could maybe argue, well, he played 80 minutes in the centres where he ran for, you know, 80 to 100 metres and didn't really do much. But, mate, he was everywhere. Like, he was all over the field. He was making breaks. He was going crazy. and then he'd have to back that up with a game playing at fullback. So, I mean, look, I guess the thing is at the moment, the talk is that he is going to play. But from my perspective, like, I think, I'm leaning towards, like, he probably won't play because, I just, in my head, looking from the outside in, I can't see how there's an acceptable level of risk there. As an owner, I'm wanting him sort of not to play. When I talk about, and I ramble on, but when I talk about risk and stuff like that, the chances are very much in his favour that he'll be fine. We're still talking about, you know, probably anywhere from that 10 to 30% risk of re-injury. So it's still, you know, quite low. There's still a greater chance that he gets through it. But once that risk starts getting up, I mean, that's Manly season on, you know, the back of his legs. You know, if he does another hammy, they're in big trouble. So, yeah, I'm hoping he doesn't play. So there's no concerns that he can have a 10-day turnaround till the next game. But, I'll be very, very nervous if he runs out there tomorrow night.
I get that you say the odds are against him getting hurt, but 10 to 30%, that sounds really high. Having said that, you know, Jake obviously wants to back up, but I think he would probably play compared to Tommy. I don't think Jake played that
many
minutes.
Yeah, well, he only came on for 10 minutes in the second half, I think. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him sort of back up because, once again, it's about load, right? And Jake's used to playing like 80 minutes in the middle. So, you know, what we had maybe 30 minute stint in Origin last night and came on at 10 minutes at the end when they were, you know, 40 points ahead or whatever. I wouldn't be shocked to see him back up either.
Now, there's a couple of HIA concerns. Obviously, you mentioned Christian Welsh failing. I think there's chat that he might not only just miss this week, but he might actually be in doubt for game two. And that's, if I'm not mistaken, that's probably because he's had a couple of head knocks, failed HIAs in the past 12 months. So much like what the Storm have done with Pappenhausen, they're just overly cautious, I imagine. And, you know, all for that, given how the emphasis on play safety. So that's obviously big news there. But Dev Fida also went off for a HIA. He passed, so obviously returned to the field. But I think we've spoken about in some past, if something does come up, he exhibits any symptoms at all, then he'll have to go through the protocol. And I imagine, given that, you know, they're playing on Saturday, there's no chance he'll be able to back up if he does enter that return to play protocol.
Right. Yeah, you just got to see how, like, you know, what comes out of the Titans in the next 24, 48 hours, because if he does show any symptoms, or they may just want to, you know, because he, like the thing is that it's a subjective test, right? So it's not like they're doing a blood test and they're like, yes or no, like, you know, you definitely concussed or you're definitely not. Like, he still copped a blow to the head, right? Like, at the end of the day, he came off for a reason because he did cop a blow to the head. So it's one of those things where the Titans might just want to go, right, well, you've copped a blow to the head, we give you rest. But in saying that, the Titans need him, and I'm not saying they'd push him through any concussion symptoms, more if he's not showing concussion symptoms. They're a team, you know, unlike Melbourne, where they're, even if a player, say, wasn't exhibiting symptoms, with how well they're going, they're more than happy to sort of sit guys and give them extra weeks. Someone like the Titans, in their position, you know, those things come into consideration, where they're, you know, they need players like the calibre of David Fita, to play. So yeah, it's a bit of a balancing act.
Yeah, as an owner, obviously watching that very closely. On the other side of that game though, the Roosters with James Tedesco, you know, there was some chat he's managing this hip flexor injury or something like that. What are your thoughts? I mean, he still had a pretty big game. Wasn't quite, you know, Tommy Turbo, Latrell Mitchell type big, but he still ran for over 200 metres, you know, 20 plus hit ups. Like, he was very involved. What do you think about his chances of playing Saturday?
Yeah, so it was a hip pointer was what he suffered, which is effectively just a really bad cork to the hip, and they can be quite painful. Look, he did have sort of 10 days. Most of them sort of resolved within 10 to 14 days, so it was no surprise to see him play last night, but it just does, for about 3 to 4 weeks after you suffer it, you do just have an increased risk of aggravation. So in other words, if you cop another blow to that spot, it can give you like a dead leg. That's kind of what a hip pointer is. It just gives you that dead leg. And we've seen that a couple of times, different players, you know, Anthony, Don, those kind of guys who've just, you know, copped one and then started running and just collapsed in a heap almost. So he's one, once again, I like there's definitely enough sort of there that I wouldn't be surprised to see him have a rest as well. But if he does play, I actually traded him out last week or the week before over Turbo, purely because I'm like, even if he does play, you know, there still is that sort of re-injury risk there. Not that there isn't with Turbo, but it was more that, yeah, with Teddy, I thought Turbo would score more points in the games that he does play. And so they had like a similar sort of risk of aggravation within games because that's what exists with those corks.
Yeah, fair enough. And there's probably an easier matchup against the Titans on offer here. And then they've got two tough games against the Panthers and Storm. So they probably want to make sure he's 100% so he can go with those.
Correct.
All right. Look, I think that's probably the key players that we want to focus on as far as, you know, origin stars and whether they back up or not. So we do appreciate, obviously, you weighing in on all those things. You don't have any direct channels to players, so we understand, obviously, you're just putting your best guess forward. So if, you know, what happens this week is people go the other direction, then, you know, so be it. It's obviously just your best, more educated guess for us. So we do appreciate
that. Yeah, and I think, even if, you know, even if guys like Turbo or like Teddy end up playing, like, you know, it's when you and I aren't sitting here discussing and saying they're definitely going to play or they're definitely not going to, but it's also having that understanding, you know, and me being able to give you guys information that, okay, even if they do play, these are the implications that, you know, for performance, for re-injury risk, aggravation risk, so then you guys can use all that information to make the most informed decision possible, rather than just sitting here and being like, oh, well, I definitely think Turbo is going to play or I definitely think Turbo's not going to play. I don't think that, like, there is obviously value in that, but you're going to find that out at some point anyway. It's having that extra information to sort of be able to make those decisions about, you know, tossing up, well, even if, you know, Teddy does play, Teddy's probably a bad example because he's a gun, but, you know, when you get down to lower players and you're tossing up between two guys, you're going to put a reserve on or a captaincy or something like that. Like, I wouldn't be captaining Turbo or Teddy this weekend just purely because of the risk of re-injury, risk of early rest, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's those little edges that I'm sure all you guys want to get that hopefully we've helped out with.
Yeah, definitely. And as always, we appreciate you jumping on. Catch you again next week.
Too easy, mate. Talk to you then.
You've got mail, baby, yeah.
Kicking off the Whispers for round 14, we're starting with the Seagulls and the Cowboys. Obviously, the Seagulls are coming off the round 13 bye. They were sweating on the origin trio of Daly Cherry Evans, Jake and Tom Tarovic. Obviously, Tommy Turbo ruled out officially. He's been dropped out of the 19-man squad. This sees Dylan Walker returning from his hamstring injury at fullback. DC and Jake are confirmed to be backing up. Kieran Foran and Ben Turbo, Brad Parker and Homoli Olakau'atu have all been named and are expected to recover from various injuries to play. Cade Custer's also been named to come onto the bench after he's recovered from his own hamstring injury. But with the makeup of the current bench, Wacko expects Kurt DeLui, who is a middle forward, to come onto the bench to make his NRL debut. The other player remaining in the 19-man squad is Christian Tuipulotu. On the Cowboys side, they are officially without Kyle Felt as he suffered a back injury during Origin. Justin O'Neill is his replacement, and whilst he's been named on the wing, Wacko expects him to play left centre. The Hammer, Tebowe Fido, is going to move to the left wing, and Murray Talagi will switch to the right wing. Val Holmes is confirmed to back up from Origin, but there's a chance he may rotate with the Hammer during the game to obviously ease his workload. Cohen Hess, who was in the Origin camp for Queensland and 19th man, he's going to play, named to start on the right edge despite him spending most of this season playing in the middle. Jason Tamalolo and Lachlan Burr both return after missing the Warriors game due to suspension. Tommy Dearden makes his Cowboys debut on the right edge, and he obviously replaced Jake Clifford as a mid-season signing. Reece Robson copped a poke to the eye during the Warriors game, but with the bye in between, his swelling's gone down. He's trained during the week and will play. And the remaining two players in the 19-man squad is Dejan Arce and Corey Jensen. So one of those two will be the 18th man, obviously. The Sharks and the Panthers, the Sharks coming into the clash off to the bye as well, unaffected by Origin, with the full squad being able to prepare for this game as a squad. The only concern here is Andrew Fifita and his hamstring injury. This forced him to be a late withdrawal from the Jets team in New South Wales Cup last weekend. He will need to pass a final fitness test to play, with Teague Wilton on standby should Fifita fail his fitness test. There are no other late changes expected. The other player remaining in the 19-man squad is Franklin Pele. on the Panthers side, they have six players who took part in Origin with Nathan Cleary, Jerome Luai, Isaiah Yeo, Brian Tuttle, and Kurt Capewell all rested. Liam Martin is the only player who played on Wednesday night to back up. Appy Coruscant was the 18th man. He's set to play because he didn't get onto the field. And they both may start on the bench, however, as they didn't train with the squad during the week, which Mitch Kenny starting hooker and Isaac Targo likely the player to make way for Martin. Brent Naden was added to the squad once Origin players were ruled out on Thursday night. And like I said, the other player remaining in the 19 is Isaac Targo. For the first game on Saturday, the Titans are going to be without Fotuaika, as he was charged by the match review committee with a grade 1 dangerous contact charge for a hit on Latrell Mitchell during Origin. Even with his early guilty plea, he's copping a 1-game suspension. This sees Jamin Joliffe come off the bench onto the starting lineup, and Jai Whitbread will come onto the bench as his replacement. Adrian Brimson's officially been ruled out, and Jed Campbell will replace him at fullback. The other two Origin representatives are Dan Fifita and Tino Fasua-Malawi. They were checked on Friday morning. Apparently they didn't train, but they both are wanting to play, so depends on what happens there. Obviously, very unusual for a player to not make the captain's run and then still run out, but obviously these are not normal circumstances. Just keeping in mind, Dave Fifita, he passed his game day HIA, but he also copped apparently some sort of injury to his eye, or maybe it was part of the same incident. But yeah, at this stage, they are still not ruled out, and they may play, but keep an eye out. Obviously, keep an eye on Wackers Whispers' Twitter account to get the latest as soon as we find out any more. On standby, though, they do have Sam Stone for David Feeder and Joseph Vuna for Tino. Now, Mitch Rain, shoulder, and Anthony Don hip were both late admissions last week due to injury. They are only considered an outside chance to recover from injury to play. On the Roosters side, so obviously we've heard the press conference. Robbo talked about Teddy. He said he's expected to play. He was checked by their medical staff after Origin. Come through okay. Some bumps and knocks and all that type of stuff, which is normal. He was expected to fly to the Gold Coast straight from Townsville, and he'll be checked again there. So, yeah, basically, though, Wacko says the Roosters could still be without Teddy, despite what Trent Robinson said to the media. Because, obviously, yeah, he does have this hip injury. He took it into Origin, and I would imagine, you know, having two games in such a short period of time is probably not best recovery practice there. If obviously he's ruled out, then we'll probably see a reshuffle of Joey Manu moving to fullback and Joseph Suwali coming in to play his third NRL game. The Roosters also get Angus Crichton back from suspension on the left edge, and Isaac Liu returns after having to leave the field early in the game before the bye due to an eye injury, but he should be expected to play. Sam Walker is again confirmed to return after he was the 18th man against the Raiders in round 12. For the Rabbitohs and the Knights, the Rabbitohs have ruled out Damian Cook and Cam Murray, and that sees Liam Knight come in at lock. Latrell Mitchell and Jaden Suar are expected to back up from Origin, but they still have rookies like Blake Taff and Peter Mamouzelos named as cover for Cook and Mitchell. Apparently, Benji Marshall named to start at hooker with Peter Mamouzelos as backup on the bench. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. Campbell Grant and Keon Koloa-Matangi were in camp for New South Wales at the 19th and 20th men, and they will play after taking part on the captain's run on Friday. Tane Milne is in some doubt due to a rib injury, and he will need to pass a final fitness test to play with Josh Mansour on standby should Milne be ruled out. Mark Nichols has passed required protocols after he failed his HIA in round 12 against the Eels, but he does have to get through training this week. At this stage, he's expected to play. On the Knights side, the only player to take part in Origin was Daniel Saifidi. He's expected to back up from Origin. Phoenix Crossland was a late withdrawal on the weekend due to injury. He has to pass a fitness test to play. If he is ruled out, they do have options of either Connor Watson going in at 6 or Kurt Mann, who's been named at right centre, moving into the halves with Dom Young coming in at centre and Inari Tuala moving out to the right wing. Brody Jones passed his game day HIA last week, and he's trained during the week and is a confirmed starter. For the Raiders and the Broncos, the Raiders are coming off the bye, and their only Origin player in Jack Whiten made it through the game unscathed, and he will back up after playing fairly limited minutes. Josh Papali'i returns from suspension, and Joey Tarvane also returns after he missed a number of weeks due to a knee injury. Bailey Simonson will play fullback after he left the field in the Roosters game and failed his HIA, but the two-week turnaround has left him plenty of time to recover. The only other change from 17 that Wacko expects to see might be an NRL debut for Elijah Anderson, who will come in to replace Semi Valame on the wing, and Semi's been struggling with a hamstring injury for the past few weeks. On the Broncos side, they're still hoping Payne Haas will pull up okay after Origin, keeping in mind he did have a bit of a knee issue before Origin. The call's to be made on Friday, and at this stage we haven't heard anything. Jordan Rickey is on standby. Should he fail to recover in time? Kobe Hetherington did suffer an ankle injury in the Dragons game on the weekend, but he's trained with the squad this week and should play. Alex Glenn is in some doubt after he copped a heavy knock last weekend, but at this stage he expected to play as well. Carmichael Hunt comes in to play his first game for NRL, but however, his halves partner Albert Kelly suffered a hamstring injury at training, and at this stage it's either going to be Corey Pax, who's currently in the 21, but he was expected to be more cover for either Hetherington or Turpin, as he's been playing hooker, but he obviously can play in the halves as a, you know, he came through juniors as a half. However, the Broncos have applied to the NRL for exemption to bring Tyson Gamble in from outside the 21 due to injury. Gamble, who apparently was sick earlier in the week, apparently full recovery and was named to play Queensland Cup. But yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on that. If Gamble gets a run, that might save some lucky super coaches who don't have a 5-8 at the moment without him. For the Warriors in the Storm, the Warriors receive a massive boost with Adam Fanua-Blake medically cleared to return from knee injury. Just has to make it through the captain's run and he'll come into the 17 and should start at prop straight away, which will push Leeson Armel, who's recovered from his wrist injury, to play, to the bench, and it'll be either Jack Murchie or Kane Evans dropping out at 17. Cody Nikorima is cleared to return after he suffered a head knock in the Cowboys game in round 12. Bailey Serena knee and Josh Curran elbow have both been named to return from injury. They just have to make it through the captain's run themselves to be confirmed starters. On the Storm side, they've been hit hard with their middles losing two from the team named on Tuesday, with not only Nelson Osofo-Solomona failing at the judiciary on Tuesday night, which sees him out for one game, but also Christian Welch suffered a head clash with Brian To'o in the first half of Origin. He failed the game day HIA, and he's also been ruled out for this week and potentially for longer. Tui Kamikamitha should come in to start at prop, and both Tom Eisenhuth and Chris Lewis could come onto the bench after they both recover from their respective head knocks after training this week. Cam Munster foot, Josh Adokar hip, and Harry Grant hamstring will all need to be checked as to how they pull up from Origin on Saturday morning. At the moment, they're expected to play. Felice Kafusi suffered a burner to a shoulder during the Origin game. This will see him rested. Trent Loiero will come in to start on the right edge. Kenny Bromwich left the field last weekend due to a sternum injury, but he did train with the squad during the week and is expected to recover to play. Raymond Smith also had his charge downgraded at the judiciary on Tuesday night and he's free to play as he's only having to cop a fine and he's expected to line up at right centre as usual. For the Eels and the Tigers, the Eels look set to be 1-17 with Junior Paulo expected to back out from Origin, and the rest of the Eels squad trained this week with no injury concerns, outside of obviously Reid Marnie, who is out for a few weeks. And we will see Joey Lussick in to play hooker. And the Tigers side, they have Joe Offahengawe play Origin for Queensland on Wednesday, but he's expected to be able to back up and will start at lock. Moses Mbai suffered a knock to knee, which forced him from the field last week, but scans came back with just bone bruising. However, he still needs to pass a fitness test at the captain's run on Saturday to play, with Billy Walters on standby. Jacob Little and Luciano Leilua both copped heavy knocks during the Panthers game, but are expected to play. And the last game of the round, which is on Monday, the Bulldogs and the Dragons. The Bulldogs do welcome back Jeremy Marshall-King from a foot injury and Sione Katoa a suspension after the bye. DWZ will play despite managing an ongoing foot injury with the bye coming at a good time for him. Matt Dury passed his HIA, and Jake Avrilo, who failed his HIA last game, they will both play after a extended break. Joe Stimson has been named both in the NRL squad and New South Wales Cup, with either Corey Waddell or Chris Smith coming to the 17 if Stimson plays New South Wales Cup, and no other late changes are expected. On the Dragons side, they only have one player who played in Origin on Wednesday night, and Tarek Sims obviously had a great game, and he's been named an extended bench with a 5-day turnaround from Origin. He's expected to play and come onto the left edge. This will push Jack Bird back to centre, with either Gerard Beal or Brandon Williami dropping out of the 17. Puasa Faamasili failed his game day HIA against the Broncos, but with such a long turnaround, that's 11 days all up, he's been cleared to return to training after training with the squad late in the week, and he should play. Ben Hunt was rushed into the Queensland Origin camp after the Marnie injury last weekend and was 18th man for Queensland on Wednesday, but he didn't take the field, so he should be right to play this week. And that is Wacko's Whispers for round 14.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
All right, so thank you as always for getting your questions in. I'll do my best to help out. But look, starting off with a couple of easy ones. First one comes in from at Deep Longstop. He asks, Lawton or Curran for Barnett and play this week? Either seems a bit shaky with job security. Yeah, you're right. Both are very shaky. Lawton, I think, with Schuster and Sirenen and, yeah, multiple options there kind of scare me. So I'm not that keen on Lawton, honestly, as much as he's got that great negative break even. If you're flush with trades, it's a, you know, not a bad option because he can, if he holds that spot, then, you know, you're going to make some good cash and hopefully covers 17. But there's also a real chance that Lawton ends up being the 14 because he's very versatile. On the current side, obviously, you know, Nam to start, which is great, but it's still a question mark about how that back row is going to work because, I mean, how many times have we seen Nathan Brown chop and change that back row? And again, the game right before Curran hurt his elbow, he did come off the bench, only got extra minutes or got onto the field earlier because of a HIA, and his score was saved due to a lucky try. So I am, look, if it's out of those two, I would lean Curran, but I am very hesitant on both. But Curran definitely ahead of Lawton if that's the case. Next question comes in from at Alex_McFarlane. Would you prefer to trade in Jones, Milne, or Suwali this week as a downgrade? I'm assuming Jones is Brody Jones, which that rules me out straight away. Like, he was the last week option if you wanted to get him, just because there's a limited time frame that he's going to be relevant for. So I would say Suwali is the best option if he plays. And then Milne, I mean, Milne's got a bit of an injury cloud hanging over his head as well, so it's not ideal, but hopefully we get more information about that. But it's good to see that Milne, given if Milne is ruled out, the backup is Josh Mansour. It's obviously not an injury issue that sees Milne ahead of Mansour. He's ahead in the pecking order. The question is Jackson Paulo, who's apparently due next week or the week after at the latest, which means if, you know, Paulo is ahead of Milne and Mansour, then that'll obviously be an issue if you need him to play more than just the 1 week. But if you're wanting Milne, let's say he's fit, he can play this week and maybe come round 17 with both Latrell and Dane Gagai out of the team, then there's a good chance Milne comes back in, even if Paulo is actually ahead for that right wing spot. But yeah, I think Suwali, if he's playing, is the top option there, followed by Milne and Brody Jones. I just wouldn't even count him. I just wouldn't trade him in, basically. Next question comes from at JD_Twill. Wolf, I'm in a similar boat to you with Lenio and Staines needing to go. Welsh may be a concern over Lenio now, though. I'm lost on who to bring in. He's got 15 trades left to have to stick to keepers if possible. Any suggestions? So he's attached a screenshot of his team. His front row is Pangai, Welsh, Ryan James, and Spencer Lenio. So for me, I think with Welsh ruled out and potentially out for a few weeks, I think you've got to get a front row forward potentially. So that could be anyone like a Luke Thompson, who, like we've said in the past, at the very least is a round 17 coverage guy and very easily a top two or three front row forward at this stage and could be for the rest of the season. So that's probably the standout option. If you don't have the money, I don't know how much you've got in the bank. If you need someone who's cut price, then Take Aho, who's very cheap at the moment, or also for Noah Blake, someone to keep an eye on. But yeah, I think of your options there, if you've got the cash to go from Welsh to Luke Thompson, that's probably the simplest answer there. Otherwise, I would, Spencer's not going to lose cash. As much as you want to get him out, I would just be prioritizing Welsh because, well, he's injured and you need someone to play in that second row, front row, forward position. So yeah, that's my advice there. Next question is from Tom at Tom Numbers, trading Cody Walker for Luai or Kopanei of either Staines, Lenny or Stefano, and that'll allow him to keep Luai. Means his trades would be Kakao to CHN and Saab to Johnston. Otherwise, if you think Luai is a trade out for Cody Walker, would you prioritize trading in out of CHN and Johnston? Okay. So, look, the Luai question is purely up to you. I don't love copying an AE of those three, though, so I would probably lean towards trading Luai to Cody, but that's because I've made the move to get rid of Luai myself. I've lost a bit of confidence in him for the rest of the season, so that's me. But if you plan to see him as a season-long keeper, then, you know, 1 week of Staines, Lenny or Stefano is not the worst, basically. Now, between CHN and Johnston, look, I am firmly on the CHN side, more so because I just don't trust Alex Johnston ever. I think Joe made the comparison to him being Dev Fisatua of the past, and in that sense, it's a very low base, low work rate winger who makes his bread and butter off scoring tries and is good at them, but he could score two tries and barely crack 60. So there is a chance that he might score plenty of tries over the next couple of weeks and still only average 60 to 65. And if he doesn't score those tries, if someone else scores them instead, for example, then he's going to be disappointing. But like I said, it's a gut call for yourself. My gut says CHN over Johnston, but I know a lot of people very high on Johnston and I can't fault them for that. Next question comes in from Adreno Kuana. Sell Staines and Munster or Laurie and Schuster to get Cody Walker and Johnston. Of that combination, I would actually say Staines and Munster because, from my chats with NRL Physio, I had concerns about Munster's output, even if he does get on the field. I think we saw in Origin he wasn't 100%. Either he's underdone because he hasn't been playing or that foot's still bothering him. So I think as much as Munster's probably a keeper, I wonder if he's going to get some subpar scores, even if he does get on the field next couple of weeks. And he might get rested from Origin and et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, even though Schuster's not playing and he's probably not going to be a keeper, given those concerns, I think I would rather sell Staines and Munster, be able to play Laurie at least another week or so, and then, you know, ditch Laurie later. Next question comes in from Lake at Adam D Numbers. Hi, Catfish. Terrible week for me last week. Slid down 1,400 spots. Try 2,000. Now I'm at 1,844. Okay, I guess that's relatively speaking a painful slide for you. He's trading this week either Ramis Smith to Alex Johnston or Staines to Johnston. I'm leaning towards Staines and Walsh to Powell. All the best this week, mate. Cheers for that. I will need all the best I can possibly get so I can climb back up the rankings. But I think out of those two, I would actually, I'm with you. Staines and Walsh to Powell and Johnston. Ramis probably scores better than Staines this week given the lack of Cleary and Luai. I mean, we saw how bad Tyrone May was at 7. So, yeah, I'm not confident in Staines this week at all. I know he scored 7 tries or whatever in 2 games against the Sharks, but pretty sure both those times they had Nathan Cleary and Jerome Luai playing in the halves. But, yeah, I think out of those two, I would definitely go Staines and Welsh to Powell and Johnston. Next question is from @Mitch_Phillips. So, antipod sell Cleary? Last score 54 at 1.1 million means 167 break even versus the Roosters. That's obviously the opponent for next week. So even if he hits his predicted score of 127, he'll have a 219 break even versus the Eels in round 16. If he scores 100 in 15 and 16, he drops 150,000 plus for round 18. So he's looking to trade Cleary to Cody, who has the Knights, Bronx, Tigers, Cows, Dogs, Warriors. Massive pod play. Alternatively, he could go straight from Burton to Walker this week and save the trade. I think it was about two weeks ago on the main podcast episode where they hadn't played the Bulldogs yet and I was already talking about people planning to sell him and things like that. I was already back then saying don't sell Cleary. I just didn't think it was worth the trades. And that was before we saw him score 54 against the Bulldogs and was very disappointing, et cetera, et cetera. But my reasoning for all that has not changed at all, even though he's got this 54 in the rolling average now. It was never about the cash for me, and I accept that 1.1 mil, wanting to cash that in and get points if he's missing round 13 and also now he's missing round 14. And, you know, all of that's fair. But to me, I just think, you know, this guy could score in rounds 15 and 16. He has the potential to go 150 plus any week. And if he's done doing that while people have the captaincy on him, it just hurts you. You know, we saw people trading him to Jerome Hughes against, you know, what was a pretty weakened Titans outfit. Hughes only scored, what, 65, I think. So it was disappointing. And again, Hughes was playing lights out, still averaging well under what Cleary's delivered. The thing for me is that, all right, so let's say he does play round 15, round 16, misses round 17, obviously, by plus origin. And does he back up for round 18 or does he come back in round 19? So let's say he plays rounds 15, 16. Even if he scores 100 the next 2 weeks, or if he scores like 80 1 week and then 150 the week after or something like that, basically averaging around 200 to 250 points in the next two games that he plays, that's only going to see his price drop by like maybe 130, 140, 150,000 at max. And then if he comes back round 18 against the Warriors, do you not get him yet? Do you wait for his price to drop more and potentially look at, you know, hoping you can get him for sub 900,000? But I mean, Warriors, his Cleary's one of his highest scores is like 169 or something like that, was against the Warriors in New Zealand, of all places. And then round 19, Broncos. So if he doesn't drop in price, then you've got to find a way in round 18 or 19 to potentially pay 950 to 1 million for Cleary if the scores don't go the way they do. I mean, if he keeps scoring 60s and 70s and 80s the next couple of weeks, then you're going to be a genius. But it's just more how difficult it's going to be able to get him back in without breaking your team open. And I get you can look at options like selling Nico Hines and, you know, maybe cashing in on some of these fullbacks once they peak in price again. But, you know, those are just trades and trades and trades. And I just, I don't know. I couldn't do it. I've burnt too many trades and I've saved about four. So I don't know where you guys are at with your trade saving and things like that. But again, I get I've been burnt by holding Pappenhausen, but that's because it's the fullback position. I don't think you're going to get burnt by holding Cleary because none of the replacements for Cleary are really going to do that great, honestly. They might average 70, they might average 80, and that's fine. But I just can't see any of the halfback replacements going that large, honestly, over the next few weeks. But hey, I think like 2% of super coaches sold Cleary last round and they probably got some rewards from that. But I don't know how many more will sell him this week. But yeah, I couldn't do it myself, but you've got to back your gut at the end of the day. If your gut's screaming to you, sell Cleary, he's not going to go that well, then yeah, I don't mind it. I just don't think it's money shouldn't be part of your consideration here, honestly. Like, I just can't see him losing that much to justify trading him in and out. And, you know, super coaches also need to plan for what's going to happen in rounds 18 and 19. We're talking about all these origin guns that you're going to sell, like Cleary, Turbo, Teddy, Pappenhausen, I don't know, whoever else you want to get in. But you look at the matchups, round 18, you've only got two trades in round 18 and two trades in round 19. Melbourne play the Knights and then the Cowboys in round 18, 19. The Seagulls play the Dragons and then the Tigers in round 18, 19. So Turbo probably doesn't play round 18, I guess, but we don't know. And then the Panthers get the Warriors and the Broncos. So who do you miss out on? You know what I mean? So to me, I just think you're going to burn too many trades. You're going to need to pay top dollar for most of these guys. And unless you've just got, you know, 1.5 million sitting in the bank in round 17, you're not going to trade in three of these guys in the next two rounds unless you've held a couple of them. So again, maybe that's the team dependent part of that question where you've got to look at, have I traded out Turbo? Do I have Pappenhausen already? And if I trade out Cleary, who's going to, when do I get him back? And yeah, those are all the questions I would ask, because a lot of arguments I've seen for selling Cleary are very, like, they're arguments in a vacuum that you would look at just in relation to Nathan Cleary himself. And it doesn't consider the other players you'd get him instead. It doesn't consider where you'd use your trades elsewhere, you know, in the coming rounds. And yeah, so to me, it's just I've got bigger issues to deal with in other areas of my team. Cleary is the undisputed number one. There's no one who's even going to come close. Whereas, like I said, if you don't have a Turbo or Pappenhausen or Teddy or whatever at fullback, you still might get someone who's really close to him because there's so many good fullbacks, basically. I hope that helps. So to come to your question, I guess if I was choosing between going Burton to Walker straight away or trading Cleary to Walker and then getting Cleary back later, for me personally, it's not even a contest. I'd just trade Burton out. And, you know, he scored 65 last week, but he was saved by a serious junk try that was quite lucky, honestly. So, yeah, that's where I'm at on that one. Hopefully that helps. I know it's a very long, convoluted answer. Next question is from Walgi at Kasikas. Best to Osako to Alex Johnston. Best will leak until Ponga returns. I'm okay with Osako sitting there and can go Suwali when he is next picked. And then he also asks, any other centre wing candidates? What are your predicted top five for the year? And he currently has To'o, Hines, Laurie, Saab, Best, Simonson, and Osako as his centre wing. So I would probably trade Osako just because you're going to get more money. Osako, I don't even know if he gets his spot back. And I get that, you know, Burst has been very disappointing, but at least he's playing. I get that he's been very disappointing. You know, he wanted a big score in round 13, which didn't happen. Part of that is because the Knights suck at the moment. And also the fact that, you know, there's no Kalen Ponga, which you pointed out. And I get that he's probably going to suck until Ponga returns. But at the end of the day, if you don't sell Best, you don't lose the cash. Just stick with it. Hold him. Maybe bench him until Ponga's back if you can. I just think the reality is you're going to want to potentially have Best come end of season. There's some great matchups there. Even if you just build depth. And you got a bit of depth there when you trade out Saab and Simonson later, depending on what you do with Laurie. But I just kind of think, yeah, having Best as a fifth, sixth centre wing option is probably not the worst thing. As for my predicted top five, look, this is really hard. Aside from To'o, probably Val Holmes, maybe someone like a Ruben Garrick, anytime Tommy Turbo's in the team. There's just so many options. I just don't feel like I could confidently rely upon plenty of the others. Like Mike Acevo, he is averaging right now the fourth most points in the centre wing position, and that includes Nico Hines, which, I mean, he doesn't really count because the moment Pappenhausen's back, he's not going to be at that position. And I've excluded Matt Fiergai and Greg Marzu, who've only played one game each. But, you know, Hines, To'o, Val Holmes, Garrick, they're the only options that have been averaging over 70 at the moment. Then you've got Corey Thompson, Jesse Ramian. So he is one an interesting one, but he's only played six games and he's got 120 plus score in there. So that's going to skew his average. Ramian, though, I'm definitely interested in watching a bit more of, especially against the Panthers. If he can get it done against the Panthers, even the B side, I reckon Ramian's a real chance of being relevant, not just for round 17, but maybe the rest of the year. Yeah, but like Sivo is technically on averages like the top eight, and he's averaged 66.7. But if you didn't get on for like the 150 plus score or even last week's 124, you'd be pretty disappointed with the majority of his other scores. He's not been that great outside of a couple of big games, and unfortunately that kind of typifies Sivo for a lot of his Supercoach career. Like Dane Gagai is the next highest after that, and yeah, it's a tough position. I mean, I can imagine Daniel Tupou being one of the good options as well. You've got people actually considering selling a Nofaluma, which was laughed at last year, and it shows that his production's definitely not there compared to last year. But it shows that maybe the centre wing position, you've got to lock in To'o, Val Holmes, and maybe one or two other guys, and then just try to have three or four different centre wings that you rotate for that third and fourth centre wing position. So building that depth, maybe having six or even seven centre wings if you can get there, even if your seventh is like a Suwali who won't play every game, and you know, even when he does play, he's not an out-and-out gun. But having that depth to be able to pick and choose your matchups and all that type of stuff, to me, I think that might be the play rather than trying to just lock in a top five or whatever. So to me, that says probably keep Bradman Best so you have some of those matchups come end of season. All right, a couple more questions. Next one comes in from @demo_pegs. First trade Kelly to AJ. For second trade, deciding between Ofengawi to Curran, banks 220,000, or Laurie to Gutho via Hines, which banks 44,000. Leaning first so I can hopefully upgrade Harris and Tupou next week. Thanks. So for me, I kind of see Gutho as you should have got him last week. And if you missed a boat now, I just think look elsewhere. The main purpose for him was really to cover round 13, and those who got on, you know, they loved it, obviously. But the rest of these rounds, like, I want to get to a Turbo or Pappenhausen or one of those, you know, top premium options as opposed to Gutho. Like, as much as Gutho's been really good, he just doesn't have that same ceiling. He'll never get to that same level unless he has goal kicking added to him, which he won't unless Moses is injured. So to me, I wouldn't go that way. I would, yeah, off Ngawi to Curran out of those two. I mean, if does it have to be Curran? Like, I would go CHN over Curran without a doubt. That's a much easier trade for me. If you've got CHN already, then don't worry. But yeah, you're leaning the first way as well because you want to upgrade Harrison too by next week. Honestly, I would go that way too if you had to. And next question is from Peter McDermott at Seagull Pete. I have to pick two reserves out of Watson, Kakao, Barnett, or Curran. I think out of those couple, I would probably go, as much as the Panthers are weakened, I think you got to go Kakao. Why have him if you're not going to play him against the easier matchups? And as much as the Sharks are better, they still defensively are one of the easier teams. So I would go Kakao. And then of the others, I hate playing forwards against the Storm, so I'd probably avoid Curran, especially coming off an injury. So I think Watson out of him and Barnett. It's a tough one, but yeah, good luck with that. I don't have a lot of confidence in my answer there. It could go any way with those four, so good luck. All right, and next question comes in from D at Barker Storm Tiger. He says, CHN, I worry that he's normally a 40 base with attacking upside. Has had a bigger base lately, but I feel it's the opposition. He played South Storm Roosters, who are good teams that would have made him tackle more, as he can mix tackles. So with easier draw, will his base fall again? And then he's got a follow-up. So also, Ramian, base and power, good as To'o, but can get injured and suspended. Worth a trade or too risky? Also points out, Raymond's never done this before. Always was about 30 base and some upside with tries and attacking stats. Are the new rules in the tackle bus style making it more believable and reliable? Feels like a tough watch as a non-owner and owner. All right, so let's start with Ramian. I think, you know, that's pretty much my thoughts. I absolutely respect that he's just smashed it in the six games he's played, and he's averaging really good, even though he got injured or knocked out in one of those games. But yeah, I think it's not a proven option. I mean, you can get him because he's going to make a little bit of cash with the current rolling average he's got, and they do have a really easy draw, relatively speaking. But it's not nailed on, so you might want to, if you max traded, for example, maybe stay away. If you got a couple of trades maybe to play with, then Ramian's not the worst option. If you're right on the edge, I think maybe watch him for another couple of weeks. He might go up a bit in price, but honestly, I think a lot of us have bucket loads of money, honestly. Like, if you watch another week or two and you can go Hines to Ramian next week and still bank a couple hundred thousand, that's probably not a bad move. So long story short, I don't mind it. I do wonder what happens when Sione Katoa comes back, whether or not he ends up being more, you know, takes away some of that work rate from Ramian. And then on to CHN, look, that's a really tough one. We know he can do it, you know, like he was a 60-plus average at the Bulldogs, and we know that's a worse attacking team. So I kind of feel like he's not that risky at this stage. Even if he goes to 40s in base and base attack, you're still going to get the attack, basically, because the Raiders can still score some points, and he's one of the few attacking outlets right now because they're weakened elsewhere. So yeah, I'm pretty comfortable with CHN given his last couple of performances for the Raiders. So hopefully that helps. One last question just dropped in from at LikeATiger05. Would you trade Laurie for AJ or hold the trade? Joe O to CHN. Yeah, look, Joe O to CHN, that's a pretty good trade from my book. Laurie for AJ, I think I've been pretty clear on what my thoughts on AJ are. I do want to get rid of my Tigers though, because they have a pretty rough draw. And like Laurie, I think if you've got the option to sell him for someone you want to rotate in your center wings later in the season, he's not bad. However, if you've max traded, honestly, just hold him. He's probably a pretty good fifth and sixth center wing. It's just that you can hold him for the season and just roll him out. And if there's some easier matchups come end of season. So yeah, that might be a how many trades you got left type question. But anyway, that's the Twitter questions for this round. So at this stage, I think much of my trades still hinge on whether Payne Haas plays. So I'm still hanging out for that information. fingers crossed, I find out soon. If he does play, then I'll be pretty comfortable going Leniu and Brian Kelly to CHN and probably Tane Milne. Now, I do know a lot of you are keen to look at maybe getting a Suaalii, but the uncertainty is annoying. For example, some people are hoping to trade Staines to Suaalii, for example. I think what I would recommend there, and this is only in the circumstance where you don't need to use both trades yet. So use one trade, Staines to Suaalii, and then as you get confirmation of whether Staines is in the final team or not, then what you can do is use your second trade if he is there. If he's not and you still need to get someone in as a downgrade, then maybe you go Suaalii to Tane Milne, who still isn't guaranteed to play, but at this stage just has to make it through the captain's run, basically, and pass the final fitness test there. So, that's the whole trade loophole thing. That way you still only burn one trade, but then you just have to make sure you don't use your second trades till then. And worst case scenario, if you need to play this center wing, then you could still trade Milne to Aaron Shoup or something like that, so you don't cop a zero or an AE in that position. And at worst case scenario, you get enough in that position who's bottom dollar at the time. So yeah, it's a tough one. But I know that's one way some people are kind of trying to navigate that whole Suaalii situation. But keep in mind, Milne is a little bit more expensive. I think 13,000 or 14,000 more. So just keep that in mind as you plan your second trade there. Anyway, I probably should wrap up here. This one's already gone quite long. So on that note,